We're going to meet Zubin Kanga and Ben Carey. Ben Carey is a composer. Zubin Kanga is a pianist. Ben Carey is sitting at a laptop. And before we talk to either of them, we're going to hear some of Ben's music. This is a piece called Derivations.
Thank you.
Music by Ben Carey. That was a section of his piece called Derivations, and Zubin Kanga was playing the piano. And Ben Carey will tell us actually what he was doing, because I couldn't quite, he didn't seem to be doing anything. You see, come here, Ben. Tell us what your contribution was to the piece, apart from having composed it.
Sure. Well, look, I wasn't actually doing anything. It was the software that was improvising with Zubin. So Derivations is a piece of software and not really a composition. It's something that improvisers play with. It listens to the musician, it records what they're doing, and develops responses in real time. So I wasn't doing anything but pressing start and stop at the end.
But you'd obviously done something incredibly clever previous to that. And so Zubin, you were responding to it responding to you. It was a completely flexible performance.
Yes, yes. I mean, it's listening to what I'm doing, so I'm sort of giving it different types of material to use to improvise with me, and it's basically remembering and learning what I'm teaching it, basically, and I'm sort of teaching it to become an improviser that's going to work with me. So sometimes I'll give it very similar material so I can improvise in a very small kind of sound world, and then I'll expand it out a lot more in certain other places.
And Ben, the software obviously that you've designed to do this, does it respond to particular sorts of musical input in a particularly well, or will it work with anything that Zubin cares to throw at it?
Well, Zubin is completely free to throw it anything at it, really, but it's kind of agnostic towards material. So, I mean, I'm a saxophone player, and I developed it initially as a sax player, giving it kind of freely improvised material from my sax. But recently, I've had drummers performing with it, a pianist performing with it, even a vocalist, but also performing with material that has kind of accumulated over time. So there might be performances that Zubin does today that might show up in a performance by a vocalist in 3 months' time.
So maybe could you actually explain, I mean, bear in mind that I know nothing about computers, or at least nothing about what goes on inside them, and I'm guessing most of our listeners don't either. Can you explain what the software is actually doing?
Absolutely. Well, look, the software is listening to what Zubin's doing by recording everything that he's playing, and it's kind of chunking every little bit that he plays into what I call phrases. So they're small snippets of sound, about 3 or 4 seconds long, and it starts to build up a database of this kind of material throughout a performance. And what then happens is that it continues to listen, and as it listens to Zubin's current performance, it relates what he's playing now to what it's heard in the past. So it starts to make comparisons. It's doing a kind of matching, and it uses a similar technology to what speech recognition technology uses. So, you know, when you call up Telstra and no one picks up the phone, but they ask you to speak into a machine, it's the same kind of technology on a lower scale. But it uses that to improvise with the performer.
And it is in a real sense composing, then, isn't it? If it's comparing what went before with what is happening now, and putting the two things together and making those sorts of connections. I mean, that's not completely different from the way that Beethoven worked.
I guess yeah, it is composing. It's a way. I like to describe it as if it's composing a space of possibilities. So there are a finite number of ways that the composition and the software actually works. It's got a basis for the way it works, and that is it finds material that's similar to what the performer is doing. So in a way, it's predetermining a way that the improviser will interact with the software, but what the improviser chooses to put into it is completely up to them.
You're listening to The Music Show on RN Radio Australia and online. I'm talking to Ben Carey, who is a saxophonist, composer and software designer, and Zubin Kanga, the pianist. Zubin, this piece is part of a program which you're going to be doing three times in Melbourne, Sydney and Perth. I'll give the information a little later about that. And all of the pieces on the program expand the piano in some way.
Yes, they all use either electronics or computer interactions like this piece, or video in three of the pieces. And they all expand in different ways. Sometimes, like in the piece you just heard, it's sort of mirroring the playing that I'm doing, sort of having another kind of pianistic instrument to play with. And in others, there's all sorts of other sounds and influences and other images. But in different ways, it's expanding out the piano away from what you would get in just a normal traditional piano recital.
And what's the attraction of that from your point of view?
Well, I've done a few projects about expanding what a piano can do, but mainly I've been going inside the piano and looking at extended techniques and preparing the piano. And so going into electronics sort of expands the possibilities. And I'd only done a few pieces before that use that kind of technology. So it's good to do a whole recital where you can have a whole variety of things, some with sort of live video interaction, some with sort of solid state video, some with computer interaction, some where there's a sort of piano ensemble accompanying you. Yeah, all sorts of different ways of interacting with this technology.
And we don't have time to talk in detail about all of the pieces, but maybe let's talk about Julian Day's piece, since Dark Twin is the title that you give him the whole concert.
Yes, yes. So Julian's piece, we did a recording in Eugene Goossen's of me playing a whole lot of different material, which he's used to create a sort of twin part that I play with. So basically we play very similar material, except this twin part can do things that I can't do, like bending in pitch, distorting. So basically we're duetting, but gradually this twin starts to do very, very strange things.
And is your twin, or maybe it's his twin, but anyway, the piano's twin, is that fixed? Is it like a kind of playback, or is it more fluid, like what you were just doing then with Ben?
Well, for this particular tool, we've decided to fix it, but we're looking at ways of making it, doing it live as well, because having done the project, he's kind of found all sorts of other material that he'd want to use. So you actually want to expand this into a sort of hour-long project.
Yes. Yeah, he could always write another piece, of course.
Yes, yes.
We're going to hear some music by Steve Reich. And Reich, in a way, in terms of multiplying pianos, was there quite early on in the piece. I mean, not as early as Liszt, but still.
Yes.
And what we're going to hear is a bit of a version of a famous Steve Reich piece, Six Pianos, from the mid-1970s. But we don't have six pianos.
No. So a pianist called Vincent Korver, who was running the London Steve Reich Ensemble, he did this arrangement. He worked on it for quite a long time, and then sent it to Steve, and Steve said, yes, let's make this sort of an official part of the canon. So it's basically the same as six pianos, but he's expanded the tessitura so you can hear the parts a bit better, and he's put all the sort of interesting parts into my one solo part.
So this is along the lines of those pieces like Vermont Counterpoint,
yes,
and Electric Counterpoint. And
yes.
Yeah.
So he used those as a model, really, and it really, I think it fits among those as his, you know, piano and sort of electronic ensemble pieces.
Yeah. Basically. So for people who are not familiar with them, those are pieces where a clarinetist, for instance, plays with, I forget how many other clarinets, except that the other clarinets are pre-recorded.
Yeah.
So you have the effect of a clarinet ensemble, but in fact you've only got one live clarinetist, and so now with this version, this, what we're calling this piano counterpoint.
Yes, yes.
So the other five pianos have disappeared into Ben's laptop again.
That's right. I think this is a version which Vicky Chow is actually, who is a New York pianist. She's playing the other parts on this version of it.
Good to credit her. Thank you very much indeed, Zubin. Thank you very much, Ben, for coming in. And let's hear 5 minutes or so of Steve Reich's piece, Piano Counterpoint.
Thank you. Thank you.
Well, that was a little sample of Piano Counterpoint by Steve Reich, and Zubin Kanga was the live pianist in all of that. It's one of the pieces which he's including in Dark Twin, this concert which includes not just the world premiere of Julian Day's piece, but also the premiere of new works by Daniel Blinkhorn, a piece called Frostbite Chalk Outline, and The Fourth Estate, which is a piece by Cat Hope. And the concert is on Friday in Melbourne as part of the Metropolis New Music Festival, Melbourne Recital Centre. Next Saturday at the Music Workshop at the Sydney Conservatorium of Music, and also on the 22nd of May at the totally huge New Music Festival in Perth. It's at the Art Gallery of Western Australia, to be absolutely precise.